many of you were thinking when Dave mentioned about the need for all those sharp scissors that we were going to have running games. That's right where I went. And I said, oh boy. While I'm setting up my clock, would you open to two Gospels? First, the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 4, and then also we'll be looking at a verse in the Gospel of John in chapter 1. Okay, and in, not quite ready here. And in Matthew chapter 4, we'll just read a couple of verses, beginning at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then over to the Gospel of John in chapter 1, and just a single verse there, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. And the Lord promises to bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that he has come to seek and to save they which are lost, and has laid down his own life as a sacrifice for sin. We thank you, Father, that we can place our faith and trust in his finished work on the cross of Calvary, knowing that he died the just for the unjust, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Lord, we pray every man and woman here today might be trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. And Father, if there be one here who has not yet bowed the knee and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior of their lives, we pray this day you would open their hearts, even as that soil was spoken of this morning, that, Lord, that soil, that seed would have good entrance into good soil, and that it would bear much fruit for your honor and glory, Lord, not for this place, not for the speaker, not for any other reason, but that the Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified by bringing sons and daughters to glory. And so, Father, we just ask that you would guide and direct our thoughts today. Bless the reading and the study of your word to our hearts this day. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, way always leads on to way. It seems I was headed off in a certain direction and studying the scriptures, and I was going to speak about a couple of other things today, and naturally the Lord was speaking to me through the pages of his word, which I encourage each and every one of you to give him the opportunity to do that, because that's his desire. His desire is to speak to us and to walk with us and to make us mindful that we walk with him. At some point, it strikes me that we have to get a study of Greek in here somewhere, or we have to get open up some scholarship money and make it available to anybody that wants to go off to college to study Greek, because there was just a little something that caught my attention as I was studying, and then all of a sudden it wasn't a little thing anymore. It kind of became important in understanding the passages that we have here, as well as the other ones we're going to look at today. And that has to do with this idea of the Lord Jesus Christ asking us to follow him. Follow me, he says in both passages. And the one in Matthew in chapter 4, we often hear that referred to. And I remember when I first became a Christian, going to a Bible study over at a friend's house. And it was our habit to listen to John MacArthur tapes and his messages. And I remember a series of messages called The Master's Men. And that was one of the first series I cut my teeth on as a Christian. And it was all about the study of how the Lord Jesus Christ made disciples of the 12, and all of the application that meant for the individual. And And you can imagine that would have quite an appeal to a new Christian, a new convert. Here is Jesus going around asking all of these people to follow him into something new. There I was studying this topic. So it really had a great appeal to me. Most often we think of this call to the disciples here in Matthew chapter 4. Later on he goes and he meets James and John as well and asks them to follow him too. And we often think about that as the basis for understanding his call of the disciples. However, that was not the first call of the disciples in Matthew chapter 4. And it's interesting, as you look at the scriptures, you'll see that, that's a revisiting of Matthew, to Peter and to Andrew, his brother, and to John and to James, his brother. That's not their first encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words. And so the word that he uses there for follow is a word that's different from the word he uses for follow when he calls Philip. And I don't think it's for that reason. I think it's because the call is a sort of a slightly different call. In the Matthew passage, he uses a word that's pronounced, it's pronounced by this non-Greek speaker, diute. And it basically just means to come be with me, come alongside of me. It actually has another word attendant with it. It has the word opiso, which means behind. So the literal expression here is to come behind or to come after me. In fact, when you look at the call of the first disciples here, or actually the second call to them, of Peter and Andrew, in Mark, it's actually stated, Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And so there's this word that he uses there that means come after me. And the thought behind that phrase is more along the lines of, you know, take up this task I'm about to give you. Come and learn this task that I'm going to give you. Come in service, in other words, behind me. But when we get to the Gospel of John and the call to Philip, and in other places as well, it's a different word. And the word there is akolutheo. Akolutheo. And it's actually formed by two words. And the first word is just the first letter, a. And that's a significant attachment because that word brings in the idea of union. Of union. A is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, just like ours. And it's alpha, the word alpha. It literally means first. And it precedes this other word, which has along the same lines, to accompany and to follow and to accompany me. And so, in effect, in the call to Philip in John chapter 1, it's not just follow me, but it has this additional idea of in union with me, of joining with me as you walk with me. It has the idea to suggest to come along with me, or to walk in the way that I am walking, or to join up with me as I walk in this way. And you can see in the sort of the difference in the two renderings right there, there's a sort of a special tug that's being given in the call to Philip. Now, the reason why, I don't think he does not offer that to all the disciples. In fact, we're going to look at a couple of the others in a minute here. But the fact of the matter is, he's already met Peter. In fact, in the passage in John that we read from, a little bit earlier than that, he had already met the two disciples that were following John the Baptist. And they're not, one of them is named and one of them is not. And the one that is named is Andrew, the brother of Peter. And Andrew goes and gets Peter and says, hey, look, we found the Messiah here. And in verse 42 of chapter 1 in John, it says, when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, the reason why we know these things are preceding the account in Matthew is because in the call to Matthew, in Matthew and in the other Gospels, to Peter and Andrew and James and John, it takes place after John the Baptist is arrested. Okay, now John the Baptist, just a day earlier, said, behold the Lamb of God, and he sent his two disciples off to follow, or they left, and they chose the better portion, and they went to follow the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that those two disciples, one is unnamed, and most people believe it's John, and the other is named, and it's Andrew. And it stands to reason, well, if Andrew went and got his brother, then it's pretty good reasoning to think, well, that John, the unnamed disciple here, got his. And so this is not the first time when we see them in Matthew meeting up with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so chances are pretty good they also got that special invitation that says, accompany me. Now, all of that is sort of sanctified thinking on my part, or some of that is anyway, but not so much with the breakdown of the word to Philip. And the word to Philip here is, it means to come alongside and come join up with me. And that's not insignificant for us to think about. And his call is to come and follow me in this way. And to join me in the way I'm about to walk. And as we think about what we're going to look at in a few minutes, think about what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying there today and to you. He's saying the same thing to us today, to join him in walking. To join, not for us to ask him to join us in walking. He's asking us to join him in walking today. How we need to hear this message. How sinners need to hear that message. In Isaiah 55, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Proverbs, it says, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. What are our ways like? Are we asking the Lord to follow us in our ways? Or are we following him in his? That's not an insignificant question to ask. The Lord is gracious and kind. The Lord, I remember hearing about his permissible will. and boy, isn't that wonderful. You can take his permissible will and do anything as long as you somehow look for him. I don't know that that's how he wants us to live. I think he wants us to walk in his ways. He wants us to walk in his ways. I don't believe he wants us to walk in our ways and see if we can squeeze him in. And that's, unfortunately, I think what we do too often. In the Old Testament, the Jews were told in Deuteronomy, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God. In Psalm 128 we read, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, Lord that walketh in his ways. And so the Lord Jesus Christ comes and says, follow me. Come join and walk with me in this way. And there's some scriptural support in the Psalms and elsewhere that suggests that God was going to do just that. He was going to be the one to instruct us directly about his ways. In Psalm 25 we read, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. He will do it himself. In Psalm 32, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. What does he say about the comforter that he says, that he sends to us? When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus has come along to be that very teacher and that very guide. We believe that he is the one who needs to guide us into all these things. And so Jesus says to us this morning, follow me. Come along with me. Join me in the way. Now, I want to just take a look at the call to Philip for a second. First of all, who is he? Who is Philip? When you look at in the Gospels for Philip, the only gospel you find him in is in the Gospel of John. I wonder why that is. I mean, we see him mentioned with the 12. He's listed in the categories of the disciples as, you know, they're named there and they're sent out. But what a nondescript disciple he seems to be in the eyes of his fellow travelers, the ones who walked with him. I mean, where's the mention of him? There's not an awful lot said about him. And why is that? Who is he? What is he like? You know, it might tell us something about the Lord Jesus Christ to know who this Philip is. First of all, he was the first one called by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Check that out. He was the first one personally called, the first person in the history of Christendom to be called by the Lord Jesus Christ. The others were shown Jesus Christ, and they went over to him. But Jesus, it said in 43, it said, he findeth Philip and saith to him, follow me. That's pretty good stuff right there. He findeth Philip. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ finds the sinner, doesn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ looks high and low for his sheep, and he finds them. They don't have to be these great men. They don't have to be these mighty individuals who are attaining great things. They don't have to be much of anything by this world's standards. In fact, a lot of the times they're not. If you look in the 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about there not being many wise and there not being many notables and many noble people that are called by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he finds each and every one of them. And maybe you're here today and you're sort of sitting somewhere in a pew, maybe like sort of scrunched way back in and says, you know, nobody here knows me. Nobody recognizes me. I get walked past every day in this building. And I could sneak in and out of a room with the best of them. And there isn't a single person that has really acknowledged me. For me. Me. The Lord Jesus Christ will never pass you by. He acknowledges you. And let it be so of his people as well. Let may it be so that we reflect Christ in that same way, that would not let a Philip walk by, but let each of us acknowledge one another as well. Philip is from Bethsaida. Bethsaida didn't have a whole lot of things going for it. In fact, it's at a certain point in Matthew, Jesus pronounces one of those seven woes upon Bethsaida because he did all these mighty works there and yet nothing. Bethsaida didn't have all that much to speak well of it in terms of faith. But that's where Philip hails from. I don't know if Bethsaida is even, you know, much to speak of today. One of the things that we do see is John paying attention to Philip, though. And I wonder if that has something to do with the fact that John saw Philip called. John saw the master cares about that soul. And so I'm going to care about that soul. There's a little bit of a lesson for a Christian. John saw it, that Philip was called by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John gives us these little glimpses of Philip. One of the things that we see right here in this gospel is right after Philip is called, he goes and gets Nathanael. Right after it. He's a brand new convert, a brand new follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he goes and gets Philip. That says something about him. Now, of course, he goes and he doesn't really have all kinds of knowledge because he talks about Jesus of Nazareth. And that's really not, other than a 1970s movie about the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not how the Lord would be referred to. Jesus was of Nazareth only by way of Bethlehem. But the fact of the matter is, Philip misapplies that appellation to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And then he goes on and says, the son of Joseph. And so there you see Philip and his understanding of the Lord is not really up to speed yet. And he comes along to Nathanael, and Nathanael, who apparently was spending time under a tree, perhaps with the scriptures it's often thought, says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip, come on, man. So maybe Nathanael looked at Philip and said, like, what do you know? You dunderhead. I mean, come on. And all that Philip can say is, come and see. Come and see. I can't explain it to you. Maybe he can. Okay? That's all I know. All I know is, just come and check it out. So to his credit, Philip wasn't dissuaded by Nathanael. To his maybe, I don't want to say discredit, but he was certainly new in his understanding of the scriptures. There's a caution there when we present the Lord Jesus Christ to those that stand outside of the kingdom of God. We want to be sure that we are understanding who it is that we're presenting. Are we presenting Jesus of Nazareth, or are we presenting the Lord Jesus Christ? Another thing about Philip is, in John chapter 5, there was one of those miraculous feedings. And Jesus, it said, let's turn there. It's not John chapter 5, John chapter 6, my mistake. The very beginning of John chapter 6 and verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? So right, the Lord Jesus, there's the 12 of them there, and he picks on poor old Philip. Right? If it was you, what would you have done? You'd have been looking in your pocket. Come on, you'd have been taking out your wallets. And some of you would have said, Lord, I got this one. Okay, I know you'll bless me later. All right, I'll just write a check. Okay, and some of the rest of us might have said, like, see the guy with the check. But the Lord Jesus, it says, said this to prove him. To prove him. The Lord Jesus Christ was sort of testing Philip. To test Philip. To see if he was, what kind of faith you have, Philip? Do you understand who I am, Philip? Now, Philip's a newbie. Why did he pick on the new guy? Nathanael's the guy under the tree studying. I don't, you know, a lot of the times it's almost mentioned when this verse is spoken of that, you know, it speaks of a lack of faith on Philip's part, and yes, it does. But I also think it speaks something of the Lord wanting to speak to Philip, wanting to reach out to Philip. He's included by the Lord in this miracle. He's included. He might be the one that's on the outside looking in as far as scripture knowledge. But the Lord Jesus is speaking to him. Him. That's a nice thing when the Lord speaks to you. When he comes up to you. And even if it's to test you. You know, a lot of the times my students will talk about tests. You know, we got a test. And there's no question we test our students to death these days. Vote no on Common Core. But the idea is the fact of the matter is that there is something to be said for a test. It tells you, it allows you to find out what you know, and more importantly, it allows you to find out what you don't know. And so a test is a good thing. So if you're tested by God, if you're tested by the Lord, as you're walking with Him, as you're following Him, first of all, that's a good thing. He's testing you, isn't it? He wants to know where you're at. And then second of all, it's a good thing He's testing you so you can know where you're at. And so he was tested by the Lord. In John chapter 14 and verse 8, Jesus has just mentioned, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And Philip said unto him, Lord, verse 7. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. Show us the Father, and it sufficeth. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And once more, Philip opens himself up for a little bit of a rebuke there. A little bit of a, Philip, come on now. We're 3 years together here. Don't you get it yet? And there's something to be said for that. We do need to be moving along in our Christian walk as we're following Him, as we're walking alongside of Him, as we join with Him in the way. There's something to be said for understanding and deepening our understanding of who He is. But there's also something to be said for Philip's desire to know. Philip's longing. It's an expression of a desire, show us the Father. And you almost get the sense that maybe he knows the others more than he knows the Lord. He says, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. I'm wondering if the others, at the moment he said that, before the Lord issued the rebuke, they were saying to themselves, Yeah, do that, Lord. We're ready. I wonder. We get really caught up in how far along in the way we are, don't we? How far are we as we're walking with him in the way? Really? How far are we? I don't know. I tend to think I'm not as far along as I'd like to think I am. How far are we in our walk with him? After the resurrection, in chapter 8 of Acts, Philip is seen at a great evangelistic meeting. And what was he doing? He preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ unto them. And it said, the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. He was given special abilities, as were all the apostles, to demonstrate God's power in the early church. But he preached Christ. He came to know. He walked with him in the way. He followed him. He got it. He understood. Later on, in Acts, that same chapter, it said, and all of this, and I remember somebody, it was probably here, was talking about, like, this outreach was great. This thing was really rolling along. Souls were being saved. Jerusalem was a hotbed of activity for the church and its growth. And an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. Go out into the desert, Philip. Get out. Chapter 8, verse 27. And he arose and went. He arose and went. He's walking with Jesus along the way. He's not doing his own, I'm needed here. You know, I just gave a message over here. And do you see all the converts here? I don't know if I'm the person to go over there. Do you? I think I belong right here. After all, the people are listening to me preach. They're seeing the miracles I'm doing. You want me to go out to the desert? He ups and he goes. He's walking with the Lord along the way. I don't know if it's an accident that John wrote about this Philip. Philip's responses to the call to follow were immediate, were soul-centered. He calls Nathanael. Later on, elsewhere in the Gospel of John, a couple of people came up and said, "We would see Jesus." They came to Philip. "Who is this man?" He sounds like he's an evangelist. He sounds like he's a soul winner. He sounds like somebody who people could see Christ in. Sounds like somebody who was walking with the Lord in the way. He was somebody who longed for greater depth. He wanted to know him. And he wanted to know him more. And he sounded like somebody who was obedient as he went out into the desert, to the middle of nowhere, for one soul. Well, I shouldn't say one soul. I wonder how many souls heard that man preach back in Ethiopia. I wonder how many souls were saved as a result of Philip following the Lord in the way, going to speak to one individual. I wonder. I wonder how I can get another hour out of you. Is everybody okay to just stay here one more? There's no way that time is gone. I think probably for time's sake, I'm going to stop right here. I will have to pick this up at another time. There's too much good stuff here. I do encourage you to take a look at that phrase, "follow me," in the scriptures. We're going to be taking a look at some other ones later on, at the next time, and you'll see many instances where different things are happening, and it's the circumstances in that call to follow me that are interesting to consider as we walk, as we think about our lives and our walk. But I would also challenge you to consider the depth of that call to follow him. Following the Lord Jesus Christ, he had no place to lay his head. Following the Lord Jesus Christ, he was constantly harassed. I shouldn't say harassed, because I don't think he ever looked at it like that. Beset, I don't think he looked at it like that. Surrounded by souls who were making demands on him. Never once did the Lord give a thought to his own circumstances, but he gave response to those requests. He was constantly walking in solitary places, experiencing an aloneness, not a loneliness, an aloneness. He was trotting places that involved lots of suffering, obviously ultimately leading to the cross. Places where rejection was often encountered face to face. And he says to you and to me, follow me there. Follow me there. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, how we bow in your presence now and just ask you to search our hearts, Lord. And as we do, we would acknowledge, Father, that our desire is to follow him. And yet, we also know, Father, within us is the flesh, weakness, lack of understanding, which causes us too often to draw back and to not want to follow in his way, but to want to bid him to come and follow us in our own. Lord, we would just pray that you would make us more supple to your spirit as it seeks to shape us more and more into the character that he has, to be made more like him. We know, Father, his desire was to do your will, to follow your will, Father. We pray that, Lord, that desire would also penetrate our hearts more deeply. Lord, we cannot confess that we would ever follow fully, 100%. We do ask, Lord, that you would make us to desire a deeper walk, a closer walk, a more meaningful following of his ways. Lord, we know it's your desire to use us, to speak to the lost, to establish a testimony here in this community. And as we invite these children in to the VBS, Lord, we pray that you would be mindful of the need to be closely following the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be shining forth his love alone and not something that we manufacture, but, Lord, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ shed abroad in our hearts. And so, Lord, we just ask to that end that you would bless us, empower us, enable us, cause us, Lord, to bow the knee to you moment by moment. We give you thanks for this hour. We ask for your blessing this afternoon and on throughout the week on the VBS, Lord, and those who are coming and going and traveling. We just give you thanks now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.